Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. The president wants to build a border wall. There will be a lot of eminent domain issues. Ray Hager and I speak with attorney Michael Chapman of Fenimore Craig, plus on the Power Pundit panel, Robert Compan, Chase Whittemore, and Trey Abney. It's all coming up next on all new Nevada Newsmakers.
Sully Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature Build Your Own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lorianne, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2017 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome for the first time to the program attorney Michael Chapman. He's with Fenimore Craig. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Thank you very much.
So the topic is very interesting because when you look at the president's plan to build a wall along the southern border, that may sound all fine and dandy and easy to accomplish, when in fact nothing could be further from the truth. And one of the biggest issues is one that we haven't heard talk a lot about, but eminent domain. Briefly explain what eminent domain is and how it could affect construction of the wall along the southern border.
Sure. Eminent domain is the power and authority of the government, and it can be the state government or the federal government or local governments as well, to acquire private property from people, even if they don't want to sell, if they're willing to pay just compensation for that property.
Okay. And in the real world, this could mean literally, I'm guessing, billions of dollars in addition to the cost of building the wall, to the cost of doing this whole thing.
Well, in fact, in the budget, the Trump administration has asked for $1.4 billion for the next budget year and $2.6 billion in the budget year after that for the wall and related issues, including security and so on. Part of that, though, is to hire 20 lawyers to prosecute eminent domain cases because they anticipate that people along the border, many of them will not want to sell their property.
You know, if they don't want to sell their property, of course, it goes through eminent domain, but this also takes time. So how long would it take conceivably to settle all these eminent domain cases that may arise on the border with Mexico?
It can take years. This actually is not an original idea of Donald Trump. George Bush in 2006 was doing the same thing with the Border Security Act. He wasn't building a wall, but he was improving the fences, this kind of thing. Some of those cases went along for years. One of them, the lady's name was Eloisa Tomei, fought for 7 years over 1 acre of property, which is a long time if you have 1,300 miles to cover, you know, from California to Texas.
Have you been to the border? Have you traveled along it?
I have in the past in California.
Okay, because I mean, you know, there are entire stretches where the communities on either side of the river are as one. And for many, many years, people would just travel backward and forward. That was part of the commerce. Even now, San Diego considers Tijuana to be part of its demographic region. So in a way, are we cutting off our nose to spite our face by making the idea of a wall? And I've been to Israel, and I've seen that wall. Man, it's not a pretty thing. And I don't mean in the sense of attractiveness. I mean, you know, what it represents.
Yeah, socially and everything else. It's interesting what you point out. Another interesting thing is that some of the land that the people own in the United States is actually going to be isolated on the south side of the wall, because where it has to be constructed is not exactly on the border. And if you're on the Rio Grande, that border keeps shifting anyway with the water, the flow of the water over the centuries.
Right.
So on some of these people in the past, they've actually had to give them a gate and a key to go to their land on the other side of the board of the wall over the fence to work on it. So how secure is it actually? I don't know.
You know, getting back to this timeline, you mentioned a woman who fought 7 years with the federal government over her land on the border. Trump can only be in office 8 years. Do you think this issue of eminent domain and the legal issues that arise from it could stop the wall from being built at all in Trump's tenure?
That's possible, unless they shift gears a little bit. The federal government also has the authority to do a quick take, which means as soon as they file in court, the title automatically transfers and they can begin construction right away. If they do it the old-fashioned way, once the court agrees that it's a public use, the wall, they generally can get occupancy of their property by making a deposit of the estimated compensation in court and then go ahead and commence construction right away. These people with these longer cases were apparently succeeding in the lower courts that there was not a public use or a necessity, which happens sometimes.
One of the things that's come up is, you know, as part of the Rio Grande, is where do you put the wall? Do you put the wall and cut off the American ranches from the Rio Grande? Or do you cut off it on the Mexican side?
Yeah. So far where that's occurred, it's been on the American side, isolating some of the land of these ranchers and farmers on the other side of the wall. So you have to give them a opening or a gate or a code or something to go through so they can work their land on the other side.
For those that have been around a while, probably the most famous eminent domain case I can think of in the state of Nevada was the Neonopolis Garage in downtown Las Vegas. And the Pappas family owned that, and it was a huge deal. Can you explain a little of the history of that and how long it took to resolve?
Yeah, the Pappas case was part of what is now called the Fremont Street Experience, which is on Fremont Street through the downtown. It's a covered walkway now. The street is pedestrian only for a number of blocks. And Mrs. Pappas, who had come over from Greece, was the owner of a 25-foot-wide lot, which is now underneath or subsumed by the parking garage that was there. That was the gist of the case. And she challenged that taking, but she made some procedural mistakes in the beginning along the way, and the Supreme Court said, well, in the future, what you'll have to do is raise this issue in the very beginning of the case, not later on, because they had already built the garage. So she fought on the compensation side and went from something like $200,000 to over $6 million in compensation.
Okay, let's take a break. More with Michael Chapman, and we'll figure out where the cost could go in this case, building the wall. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with attorney Michael Chapman of Fenimore Craig.
Michael, you were talking about lower courts and being part of the, I guess, solution process in previous eminent domain cases. And I'm just thinking, wow, the Trump's travel ban was, of course, stopped or at least postponed at a lower court. Do you see a possible parallel with the travel ban to trying to get this eminent domain issue resolved in building the wall?
There is a definite parallel because all of these cases need to start in the district courts. And these will be federal cases because the federal government cannot be sued in the state court. So it'll file in the federal courts in the jurisdictions along wherever part of the wall is. And those judges will have to make the decision as to whether this is a public use or not, which it probably is, even though people will fight it, because the stated purpose is national security and so on, which has always been the province of the president.
Okay, now would this go all the way to obviously it would go all the way to the Supreme Court. Do we have any feeling for how the Supreme Court would rule in this? Would it be like the Kelo case in New Connecticut?
The Kelo case is a very interesting case on the right to take and what public use and necessity actually means. I think Kelo's a closer case than these wall cases would be because these are along the border for border security. It does seem to me that there's a public use. The necessity you can argue about, but the president has decided that it is necessary, at least in his judgment. So that's going to carry a lot of weight with the courts. Kelo, the court, was split 5-4 as to whether it was okay to take Suzette Kelo's house and basically give it to Pfizer, who wanted to do a development, kind of an office concept campus, if you will. And they said, yes, you can, because the redevelopment districts and these kinds of things, which was the authority at the time, are creatures of state law. And that set off a national storm, as I think you guys are probably aware. And a lot of states, including California, did away with redevelopment districts. Nevada made it much harder to use redevelopment districts. And that led to the pistol amendments in this state, which took effect in 2008, making it harder to do eminent domain in the first place.
What kind of when the federal government seizes your property through eminent domain, do they give you a fair price for it, or how is the price final price that the residents get? How does that come about?
I've represented landowners and government condemning agencies over the years. And the view is always on which side of that line you're standing on is the answer to your question. The standard is fair market value. And in Nevada, it's a little different. It has to be the highest price that would be found in the market on the comparable sales, this kind of thing. And so an offer is made. Most of these settle out of court, quite frankly, after some negotiation. And if the landowner, though, disagrees, because at times the government will be mistaken, and they will have the wrong price. And then that's what the jury will decide in the case. So you get to go to court and have your day in front of a jury.
Okay, let me ask you this. As we have seen in our last several elections, since Citizens United in particular, there's so much outside money that comes to bear. And we see lots of outside money coming to bear, for example, in the environmental movement. Do you think that you are going to see a rush of these kind of groups or other groups on both sides of this issue rushing in to file lawsuits that are then, it seems to me if President Trump is a one-term president, the likelihood is that this is still going to be tied up in court for many years to come.
It could be, and it'll take a while to construct the law, too, or the wall, also. So,
can he do that first, like the garage that was built in Vegas? Can he build the wall while lawsuits are still going on?
If the lower courts give him occupancy and they don't stay the decision, or if he does the quick take procedure like the federal government just did recently with the Area 51 case, of the family who owns the land up at the top, and you can see Area 51 from there. They just condemned that property. It immediately vested in the federal government. So if you do that, it could happen pretty quickly. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's where we've got to leave it. This is a fascinating topic. Please come back as this develops, and let's talk more about it.
Thank you very much.
All right. We'll be right back.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group customer care team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2017 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Robert Compan is here. He is Vice President of the Nevada Insurance Council. Chase Whittemore with Argentum Partners. And Trey Abney is Director of Government Relations for the Chamber. Pleasure to have you all here. So let's talk about how many emergency bills the leadership has and what that bodes for the end of this session.
I think they expanded it this year to 10 each, so we're going to be
Isn't that a lot?
Yeah, that is a lot. That's a tremendous amount for sure, but we'll see some fireworks definitely at the end of the session with those.
In what way?
Well, you've got the big bill from Heidi Swank that was already died related to payday lending. That should come back with Speaker Frierson. And then you probably have some sort of ESA measure that comes out of Senator Ford's office dealing with that, because if they don't get something done with ESAs, then we're going to be past sine die a couple days dealing with that issue. So,
And do you think that that's going to be something that the governor will sign?
Well, it's going to have to be. It's going to have to be for sure.
Well, you know, the ESA issue, I think, is a budget issue. I mean, that's, you know, the governor said in his State of the State address that he's not going to pass a budget without ESAs. So it's kind of his hill to die for. Although I really haven't heard much about it this session, it's been very quiet. I don't know if it's an endgame piece, but I think that the Democrats have definitely shown their hands on what they want and what they want to accomplish this session.
For example, what are the biggest?
Minimum wage, paid sick leave.
Where do you think minimum wage is going to end up as a dollar amount?
Personally, I can't read the crystal ball, but I think if one of the three measures were to pass, it'd be the one that would go to the voters to vote that brings it up to $12. If you really kind of look at that bill, it makes more sense than anything else, but it has to be voted twice by the public before it gets back to the legislature to act on it. The issue there is, I think by that time the minimum wage is probably going to be at $12. So that's what I think we'll look at endgame pieces. And I could be wrong.
You know, with all of the growth both in northern and southern Nevada, just with projects on the boards, the number of thousands of people that are coming to both ends of the state, is minimum wage even going to be an issue? People are already fighting for employees.
Well, that's just it. I mean, the low-hanging fruit has already been taken, right? We're at full employment in northern Nevada, basically, for all intents and purposes. And so we're going to have to bring in a lot of people in here just to fill all these jobs that Edon and Lance Gilman and others are bringing here. And so, I mean, McDonald's right now is already paying $10 an hour. So I think that Bob's right. It's going to go the constitutional amendment route, because that doesn't have to touch the governor's desk, right? And the governor's made it pretty clear he's not interested in saddling businesses with more cost or regulations, which is another reason why the sick leave bill could be in trouble as well. You know, on the ESAs, we have to remember a couple things. First, the Republican Senate caucus has said they're not going to vote for a budget without ESAs. But the governor in his budget did not include full funding for ESAs either. And so that tells me that they could end up with some kind of means test. Now, what will the Democrats try to extract for that? Could it be a minimum wage? Maybe. But you remember, the governor, the ESAs were never the governor's thing anyway. The only reason ESAs exist is because that's what Assembly Republicans demanded in order for them to vote for the commerce tax in 2015. So the ESAs has never been Governor Sandoval's deal. So I'm not convinced it's necessarily a hill for him to die on either.
Chase, yeah. You brought up payday loans. The interest rates for those are stunning when you really look at it. How far do you think that the Democrats are going to get with trying to rein these in terms of the rates?
Well, I don't think the rate piece will be in there. I don't see that getting passed. I mean, if you're looking at a typical payday loan, you're talking maybe $500. And so when you're talking those small amounts, if I lend you $500 and I expect payment in 7 days, when I am only charging you maybe 10% in 7 days annualized, that's a big number. It's 100%. So the interest rates really aren't, when people say, oh, they're astronomical, they're really not. It's just a short-term loan, and it's meant to bridge the gap between paydays, and the biggest constituent that uses them are teachers. So teachers and firemen and those, I mean.
Really?
Yeah, teachers are the number one users of payday lending.
Well, right, we have to remember there's a portion of their constituency that this is the only way they can get money. There's a big unbanked population in Nevada, and I understand that payday lenders can be painted as the bad guys, but if that industry goes away, you have a lot of folks that are going to be in a world of hurt. So I don't know what the answer is, and the chamber fortunately doesn't have to get involved in that fight, but, you know, that's a problem.
A discussion of marijuana seems to have gone into the background here.
Well, I don't know. I think Tick was handing out brownies on 420, so, you know, it was there, and I didn't attend Tick Sagerblum's 420 party, but yeah, it's there. I mean, the governor, you know, obviously wants to tax it 10% for education funding to fill that gap. How that's going to look, you know, you look at you know, basically pot funding education. I don't think optically it looks great. You know,
it is kind of ironic.
It is. So I mean, if it's the people passed it, the money has to go somewhere. So why not education?
Well, we owe it to our children to smoke as much weed as possible, apparently, to fund their education. So. Apparently, that's the message that sends, I think.
I want to throw it to you, Trey, just really quickly. The Washoe County School District is talking now about doing buyouts for teachers who have been around a while and bringing in cheaper teachers with less experience. How's the public going to react to that?
Well, it's tough, and the Washoe County School District always has a PR problem, right, especially since they got a big tax increase from 2015. We just passed WC1, which builds their, you know, new school buildings, but there's a structural deficit there because of cost. And you have to remember, all the new money they got from the commerce taxes is specific, read by three, English language learners, et cetera. It doesn't necessarily raise the DSA amount, distributed school account amount, for every kid. And so there are some problems there, but it's a hard PR issue for them. I don't see how they win.
Chase, you've got a kid coming along here. What are your thoughts?
I mean, you've got to roll back some costs for sure, but extending teachers' pay, I mean, the pay is a big issue, and not trading in inexperience, that's troublesome for sure. Like Trey
said,
apply
it's for the ESA account right now, and you can go to private school.
Yeah, perfect.
So exactly. We have to leave it. Words of wisdom from Mr. Compan. We'll be right back.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you. Safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators. From the exotic to the everyday. Trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
On our next broadcast, State Senator Ivana Cancela. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for listening.